Hello everyone, welcome to the round 6 preview stream. Hope you're all doing well on this fine Tuesday evening. And obviously some big news coming out of TLT with a certain Jermaine Hop God. Not so much of a god anymore. I think he's going to be a bit more of a hop gone for a lot of people's teams. He is the most traded out player. Thanks everyone for joining. I appreciate there's a couple of other streams going on, I think, with Playbook and The Whisperer. So, obviously might not have that many viewers at the moment, but hopefully people will join in later. But thanks everyone for joining at the moment. KP, WWYD, Vernon, Hanny, Drew, Ian Johnson, as always, Jason, a member, really appreciate your support. We'll try to tackle everyone's questions. Obviously, there will be a dedicated Q&A portion at the end. Haircut looking sharp. Thank you, Jason. Yes, I did get a haircut on the weekend. It was much, much needed. It was getting a bit too much. So I needed to start new week, new man. Questions about Manu, a bit of stuff about Hopgood and Hoskins, of course, being a really big trade-in option for this week too. So yeah, I think lots to get into. I think to start off though, I'll quickly just tell you how I went last week. It was a decent week, 13-21. Brought in Hines, he captained him, he updated very kindly. I will say there probably were some unicorn points that went his way, but that just typically happens with these guys like Cleary, Turbo, and Hines. They normally get these unicorn points. But I did want to quickly address something about cash generation. It's a question I think I got from Jen on Twitter, also as a viewer of the channel. I think KP had a question just in the beginning of the stream. How much attention should be placed on making money at this stage? So I'm looking at my team value, right? 13.05 million. It's looking pretty good. We start with a salary cap of 11 mil, I think, at the beginning of this year. It really comes down to, I think, how you feel about your squad. I feel like I've been able to nail majority of cheapies. Had Preston from the beginning of the season, had Hopgood, jumped on Reece Walsh before his big price rises, a couple of other guys as well who I've been able to make a little bit of money out of. So I feel like overall my cash generation has been okay. Still a few players who are going up in price as well, the likes of Khan Pereira, Warbrick. So I do feel like maybe in the next kind of 2 to 3 weeks, I am thinking of maybe trying to start targeting some pods a little bit more. Someone like Sean Lane got named today. I had great success with Sean Lane last season. I'd already owned Dill Brown. Parramatta come into a good run of games. I'm kind of thinking, is someone like Sean Lane a nice pod that I could go for in the second row forward now that I've made a bit of cash that I can maybe look to move to? So I think in terms of how important is it, I still think it's very important, especially now when there still are cheapies coming in, still money being made, because it is really, really important come the bye weeks, come State of Origin. If you can put out a better 13 than, say, your competitors, and obviously end of the season, having cash is really important to be able to load up on a gun 17 for the run home. So I still think it's a fine balance. The ideal situation is obviously to get players who are going up in price who we still think can deliver the points. I'm looking at someone like Greg Marzu as someone who can do that. Like, he's very firmly in my trade thoughts for this week, for sure. Mr. Callier says, Ace Swizzle looking sharp, new haircut. You're loving the haircut. Yes, there was a new haircut on the weekend. A couple of people at work also mentioned the haircut, so it must be... I'll tell my barber that they're doing a good job because they're obviously getting a lot of compliments out of it. So, thanks all for the compliments. But, that's KP, just my general thoughts, I think, on cash. Still think it's worthwhile to chase the cash. In terms of a quick group league shout-out as well, top scorer for the week was Mustafa with 1483, really big week. And of our top 10, all of them are sitting in the top 233. Luke, Nick, and Frank all sitting in the top 50, so all doing very well overall. Definitely still join the league if you haven't already. I still need to organize for Wayne, if you're watching out there. Still need to organize sending you out that cap from last week's prize. And obviously still join the league because I will be doing a few random giveaways throughout the season as well for a couple of pieces of merchandise that I've got from the Supercoach team. So before we get into whole things around certain players like Hopgood, etc., I have posted this on Twitter, so if you don't follow me on Twitter, I'll leave a link in the description below after the stream. But I have been posting a couple of threads just around stats. We're up to week 6 now of the season. I think we're starting to get a much better idea of kind of how different teams look from what we thought at the beginning of the season. So you will probably see from now on for the next kind of at least another 5 weeks, the color shading that I use when I look at the draw and stuff is going to be a little bit different to what I had from the beginning of the season. So I'm still open to feedback as well if people think that I should be using different colors. But the way I've kind of gone about it is looking at the Supercoach points scored and conceded by every team. Apologies to Dolphin fans. I wasn't able to get the stats for the Dolphins because I pulled this from the NRL Supercoach stats website, who hadn't got the Dolphins updated yet. I've upgraded them basically from the worst tier to the one above. So I've got them on a similar footing as like the Titans, the Knights, the Dragons. I've knocked down, and I've also knocked down the Raiders, because I'm looking at it from a Supercoach standpoint. These are teams that do concede points. You can see that as well in the second column there. You know, Parramatta actually conceding a lot of points, Cowboys, Newcastle. So some of my thoughts around some of these teams have changed a little bit. The Warriors obviously improving a lot. I've bumped them up to mid-tier. They were in the bottom tier. It's only the Tigers at the moment. Sorry, Tigers fans, who are at the bottom as a standalone bright green fixture to target. But yeah, that's something I just wanted to point out as well. I have pulled together the numbers as well for actual NRL points scored for and against. Kind of backs up some of the thinking as well. Team like the Broncos looking really good, both in attack but also defense. Penrith still being the best defense. No surprises why they're the back-to-back premiers. Interestingly, the Sharks still conceding points. So I know I've labeled the Sharks as like a difficult fixture, but I'm looking at it kind of thinking they are still leaking points. They leak 32 to the Warriors. I can't remember even who else they conceded points to, but they have been conceding points as well. And so this is the kind of thing where I'm still looking at, you know, Manly still conceding points, 32 to the Knights, they also conceded. So yeah, this is something I'm just thinking about a bit more when we're looking at teams to target, because it will come up when we look at someone like Greg Marzu. I know he's a very popular trade-in. A few people slightly turned off by the draw. It doesn't look great, but he's actually got some decent averages against those teams, and also some of those difficult teams still do concede points. So that's just something that might be worth just kind of keeping in the back of your mind just when you're looking at the draw and reassessing difficulty of teams. Right, that's kind of some more admin-ish type stuff. I'll quickly skip past this break-even one. We'll go back to it. I think I do want to start talking maybe about Hopgood. I think he probably is the biggest talking point out of TLT. Obviously named on the bench. Sean Lane back on the edge. Cartwright also named on the edge, on the right edge spot. And Madison at lock. So obviously the big question is, you know, as Footy Edits 09 says, is Hopgood a sell? So my first instinct was, yeah, sell him. 548k. Break even to 45, so it's not like a super high break even, but I thought coming off the bench, minutes are uncertain, so who knows what's going to happen. You've got a prime target in Hosking sitting there as a potentially very juicy trade-in. I've thought about it a little bit more though, and to be honest, I'm kind of actually thinking now I might just hold him this week. A couple of reasons why. Firstly, it's a Tigers matchup. Even if he comes off the bench, he's an offloading person, so there's always a chance of some of those attacking stats, line break assists. It's a really good matchup. Easter Monday, it's a really cracking fixture. We saw Madison do this last season coming off the bench. He would play in the middle 50-ish, 55 minutes and have a really good PPM. I'm just wondering if Hopgood, you know, if he plays the 50 to 55, still coming off the bench, if he's still worth a hold. And the break-even is not so high that makes me think I can maybe afford to hold him for another week and reassess. And with what else I have in my team, I don't necessarily have to sell him to get to someone like Hosking, who's a good trade-in. So I'm kind of thinking Hopgood, I can maybe just give it a week, see what the minutes look like. And if it looks like it's not good, he comes off, plays 20, 30 minutes, scores like 35, 40 points, then I'm thinking, all right, he's out for me then next week, because it is the week after against the Bulldogs, who are improving as well. To be honest, I don't hate people selling him. Like, if the only way you can get to someone like Hosking, who I do think is a great trade in this week, is Hopgood, I think I'd be fine. Yep, say I would be saying, yep, go sell Hopgood for Hosking. But for me, I'm thinking I have other ways that I can get to Hosking. Doesn't mean sacrificing Hopgood. So yeah, I'm kind of thinking Hopgood for me, I still could be a hold this week. It's also awkward that he plays on the Monday. It's the last game of the round. If he's all of a sudden, like if you're relying on him to play, it is a little bit awkward, but I still think he could just be worth rolling out just for maybe this one extra week. David Coleman says he's got Hopgood, Neocore, and Schuster. None of them look like they'll start. What do I do? Schuster will start. He's been named to start. No issues I see from him. Neocore has been suspended for 2 weeks. That's exactly who I have. I have Murata Neocore. He's been suspended for 2 weeks, accepted his guilty plea for that, I think it was a hip drop tackle that he made in that last game. So for me, Neocore to Hosking is the move I'm probably going to be doing. It's a very easy move for me to do that. Neocore is going to be out for the next 2 weeks. So yeah, I can afford, I think, to hold Hopgood for this week. I just think it's the matchup as well is made for someone like him who's offloading, Jags an attacking stat. And yeah, I kind of see why a lot of people are doing it. But for me, he could still be a hold for this week. So that's kind of my thoughts, I think, on Hopgood. I don't think I need to spend too much more time on him. I know, obviously, he is by far now the most traded out player. I can't hate it on face value. I do like it. To be honest, apologies, Robbie. Robbie Starr, you are going for Sean Lane this week. Don't tell anyone; it's practically a straight swap. I'm sorry, mate. I have to tell the masses. I think I just mentioned it to Brewmart23, Matthew, a great guy on Twitter. If there's one pod I could go for this week, if I had a luxury trade, I would bring in Sean Lane this week. I mean, I've got a good affection for the guy. He was really good for me last season when I owned him. I owned Dylan Brown as well. That combination really had me going up the ranks at the back end of last season, even when I didn't own the likes of Tarpany and Latrell Mitchell. So I've got a really fond affection for those two. If I could bring in Sean Lane this week, it'd be awesome, because I've got no concern about Sean Lane and his minutes. I think he's locked for 80 minutes, more or less. Sorry, Robbie, I know you're telling me to shush, but I have to tell the people, he is my pod of choice for this week if anyone is looking for a pod in the second row forward. Really high on Sean Lane. And he's coming back from a jaw injury. Maybe the match fitness might be down, but like performance-wise, he should be fine, right? It's not anything to do with his muscles and his arms or his legs or anything like that. Josh is saying over Fifita. No, I would probably buy Fifita over Lane this week, but I already own Fifita. So it's, again, somewhat team specific, but I guess I'm saying more as a pod. Like, he is an outright pod. Like, surely no one owns Sean Lane. On this page, though, I've just got the topic, I guess, of a few other kind of potential cash cows who've peaked. I know Incentio saying Alamotti peaked, question mark. Now, I'm not saying all of these guys are outright sells. That's not the case. It's more just about, I've seen some questions on Twitter about people who are looking at Marzu, for example, and they're thinking, do I sell Tabuai Fado or Alamotti? So I wanted to kind of put them up as a bit of a comparison standpoint. Clone Commander, I can see you're adding me with your question. I will try to get to that, but please don't feel the need to necessarily keep reposting it. I will definitely try to get to questions as much as I can. Although, I may as well, now that I've seen it, I may as well answer it. Thoughts on Jared Croker as a downgrade option for Camperero or Alamotti? I don't like it. Jared Croker, for me, never really feels that relevant supercoach-wise. There's no guarantees even goal-kicking. Brad Schneider's in the team this week too. I suspect Jared Croker's going to be goal-kicking. But if we go back to that slide about points scored, the Raiders are all the way down in the bottom three. How many points are they really going to score? He hasn't got good base. Not for me. And especially Camperero, if we go to this tab here with Camperero, minus 67 break even, he's going to make a stack of cash this week. I have not considered selling Camperero this week. He has been named as well. But on someone like Alamotti, as Incentia mentioned, people who are kind of going in a 50-50 of Tabuai Fado or Alamotti out, I definitely would be looking at trading at Tabuai Fado over Alamotti. A couple of things, Alamotti's break even is not super high, neither is Tabuai Fado's. But Tabuai Fado is obviously much higher in price compared to Alamotti, so it's much easier to get up to someone like Emazu. The draw is also better for the Bulldogs, in my opinion. Dolphins now without Sean O'Sullivan and also without Milford, I think they may potentially struggle. Warriors, we know, is tough. They're looking really good defensively, and Penrith are the best team defensively. Next 2 weeks, he's versing the best defense, and he's also versing like the fourth best defense. Really struggling to see where Tabuai Fado might get a lot of points out of this. Alamotti, yes, the Rabbitohs game is tough. Parramatta still are conceding points. We just spoke about the Sharks can concede points as well. And then he's got the Dragons, Raiders in the rounds 9-10. So I feel like Alamotti is someone that you can still hold. There is still potential for him to make a little bit more money. So anyone who's in that 50-50, I definitely think Tabuai Fado is the sale candidate over Alamotti. Rodda says, thanks, Robbie Naman. I'm getting Lane. He already owns Fifita. Sorry, Robbie, there's another one extra person is going Sean Lane for this week. I've got the... you're right, sorry. I do have the Dolphins draw wrong. They've got the Cowboys this week. Sorry about that. I've got that incorrect, haven't I? I'm just going to have a quick look at my spreadsheet, round six. I've got the draw all wrong, haven't I? Oh my goodness, what have I done? I've got the draws all incorrect. Sorry, guys. I've got that Dolphins draw all wrong. I'll fix that up right now. It's Cowboys this week. Then it's the Rabbitohs, the Titans, Raiders, and Sharks. Oh, how have I gotten that so wrong? This is what happens, guys, when I'm trying to do stuff on the fly. Anyway, I've tried to fix it up there. It's going to be a little bit... it's going to look really bad with the formatting, but you all get the idea. Anyway, I think I'd still sell Tabuai Fado over Alamotti because I think he's kind of peaked in price. Titans and Raiders is decent in rounds 8 and 9, but yeah, I still think I'd sell Alamotti. So thank you to Sam O'Brien for correcting me on that one. Appreciate that. And yeah, apologies for getting that incorrect in the first instance. Nathan says, Aman, tell me you're getting Gregosaurus Rex. Yep, good chance I'll be getting Gregosaurus. Just to quickly wrap up, I guess, on this slide of things. So Dury, someone I own, he could be a nice downgrade to Schuster to free up some funds. Not a must sell though, because he's not playing this week. He's not even named in the 17, so he won't change in price. Oichikamanu, I think, is fine for this week, but with the buy coming up in round 7, I am trying to think of a plan to try to upgrade Oichikamanu next week to a better front row forward, like a Payne Haas, for example. Cartwright, I think if you own, I'd probably hold. Still has a low break even of 29. Name to start on the edge. It's a good matchup. I would just give it a week, see what happens with the minutes. And that's, I guess, my general thoughts around some of these players who I think are kind of more popular sell candidates as well. On the topic of Gregosaurus. So, Gregosaurus Rex. So, a lot of questions about him. Is he a trap? Do we get him? How's the job security? Is he worth the trade-in? I will be trading in Greg Marzu this week, I think. So, a couple of reasons why. So, obviously, Miller has been killing it too. But I do think, like, Lachie Miller is much safer job security-wise. That's for sure. He's locked in at fullback. Marzu, Haimul Hunt, Dom Young have been kind of having a bit of a ring of Rosie about who's playing. Two of the three play each week. I know Marzu had a really bad defensive read in that game against Manly. He basically just like let Tui Pilotu score a free try. But what I like about Marzu, the stats obviously are incredible. Base power average of 65 in the first two games. So even if he doesn't get an attacking stat, there's a good chance he still gets like you 50 to 55 to 60. We have seen this before with Greg Marzu, so it's not a fluke. He is this type of player who gets the tackle busts. Still no Newcastle jersey for Greg. I haven't been able to find a nice jersey picture of him unless he's been in like training. I need to sort this out, don't I? Anyway, I swear I have been looking, couldn't find it. Apologies. Any big Gregosaurus, you know what? Stuff it. I found the picture. We're going to do this live on air. It's like I'm on the radio. I'm not on the radio. I'm going to put in a new pick of Marzu because, yeah, I think, fair enough, Ian. We can't have this insolence continue. Goodbye, Titans Marzu. Come in, Knights Marzu. Smiling, looking happy. Yeah, let's do that. Let's put in. Yeah, how's that? Happy, Ian? We got in Knights Marzu. I just like his stats. Really good tackle breaking ability. So what I've actually got on this screen, so I've got the draw for the Knights. Fingers crossed it's correct. This is the draw that I had before for the, I had half of the Dolphins draw here. Anyway, forget that. This is the Knights draw. So New Zealand and Penrith, obviously in the next 2 weeks is difficult. I was basically saying the same thing when I was talking about with Tabu Ifedo. But the numbers I've got him below are a small sample size, but it's his, it's his average against each of these opponents. So, like, he's scored well against some of these top teams. I know Warriors haven't been good defensively, but 81 points his average against the Warriors. He's scored 82 against Penrith before, 44 against the Cowboys, 52 against Parramatta. Obviously, against the Titans, he hasn't scored against, and then 72 against the Sharks. So, and Ian's saying, now the stats look better for Marzu that he's in the Knights jersey. Yep, I think a lot of people are happy about that. With Marzu, I think he's got that ability to still score well against even the better teams. So for me, I don't really see too much risk in him. The main risk is obviously around job security. But let's say worst case scenario, he plays this week and he's out next week. Minus 44 break even. If he scores a 60, he'll make 100K. And the way I'm seeing it with Marzu is that I know Ruben Garrick, who I don't own, he's got a couple of tough matchups coming up. So he's got Penrith this week, and then he's got in round 7, Melbourne. So he's got Penrith and then Melbourne. But then in round 8, Garrick has got the Tigers. Sorry, Tigers fans, you're going to feel like I'm really hating on them this week. I'm not hating on them, but it is what it is. They're conceding points. So if we're talking about Supercoach here, we need to score points. So Manly have got the Tigers in round 8, then they've got the Titans in round 9. Like, those are 2 weeks that I think I'm going to want to own Ruben Garrick. And then even from then on, it's Broncos, Sharks, bit tougher. Then it's Raiders, and then the Knights in round 13 in the bye week, where he's probably going to be playing fullback. So I think Garrick, for me, round 8 looks like a great week to trade him. With Marzu, if it doesn't work out in 2 weeks, he'll be another bridge to Garrick as well. So, like, I'm just looking at it like, worst case scenario, he goes up like 150, 200K, hopefully, and then if he gets dropped in round 8, I swap him straight to Garrick, or if he's not performing, he's just closer in price to Garrick, when in round 8, I think Garrick will be a great trade-in option. And if upside case is that he continues killing it and is a keeper, well then great, we've locked in a center wing keeper at 580k. I don't really see too many downsides. To answer your question, Jack, would you go Garrick Tomasu? No. I wouldn't be doing Garrick Tomasu. I was just talking about how I'm trying to get to Garrick in round 8. There's only you can see in the table below me, I've kind of put in a few sell candidates for the likes of Mazu. Taboua Fodeau, I'm all aboard. If your only option is to sell someone like Alamotti, I'm fine for that too. I think the upside is there with Mazu. Someone like Val Holmes though, I think with the whole Hopgood news, not as many people are talking about selling Val Holmes. I wasn't a fan of selling Val Holmes anyway, but now with Drinkwater being named again for the Cowboys, versing a Dolphins team who won't have Sean O'Sullivan or Anthony Milford, still no Kaufusi, I think it's a good week for someone like Val Holmes to score well. So I'm not personally too keen on selling someone like Val Holmes to Mazu. If it's the only route to, say, make up cash to get someone like Hosking, I can kind of see it, but I still think Holmes is someone that I would be looking to hold. You just know he's locked in, obviously, for his role at the Cowboys. Mazu, there still is that hanging over his head, but I think the job security risk is worth taking the plunge because I think that really low break-even and all those other factors I spoke about. I'm pretty keen on Gregosaurus Rex. To be honest, now that I'm looking at this picture of him in his Knights uniform looking happy, I want him even more. I want him even more. Kane saying, sell Isaac Thompson or Alamotti. That's a tough one because Isaac Thompson does have a good matchup this week in the Bulldogs, and then he's got the Dolphins next week. So there is a case that you could maybe keep Thompson and maybe sell Alamotti. I prefer what I've seen from Alamotti. Like, let's be frank as well. Alamotti got dudded some points last week. He should have scored more than what he got given. It could be a completely different story if, what did he end up scoring, like 40? He probably should have been on like 55, 60. He didn't get given a line break, which I thought was a dead cert. Should have been given a line break assist, which he didn't get. Like, it should have been up 18 points. I feel kind of dirty as well because I won some head-to-heads last week and benefited from Alamotti not getting updates. But I really do think he should have been given some extra points. In terms of that 50-50, I prefer what I've seen from Alamotti, so I think I'd rather keep him than I'd rather keep Isaac Thompson. So that's Kane's question there. Pablo says, should I hold Cardi? Yeah, I spoke about Cardi just before. Yeah, for me, if you own Cartwright, I'd be holding this week. He's got a relatively low break even at 29, good matchup. So for me, I still think it's worth seeing another week. Patrick, about Hopgood, if you just go back a little bit, we did speak a bit more in detail about Hopgood, so I probably won't go through it again in detail, but if you want to rewind a little bit, you should be able to get my thoughts on Hopgood. Who are captain options? We'll definitely get into captain options later in the stream as well. But anyway, I think I've said enough on my piece about Gregosaurus. In terms of him or Miller, yeah, I think I'd rather just go Gregosaurus just for the... come there, I'm just calling it Gregosaurus. I think I'd rather just go Mazu for the lower price. Like, Miller feels very expensive now. I think at that price, I'd probably rather just go Garrick, if I'm being honest. Alright, so that's that on the centres. We'll probably just go into Hosking. So Sean, for example, Sean Clark is asking, is Carrigan to Hoskins, Holmes to Mazu for cash to get Hines a good move? Now, see, this is one of those instances, just going back to that Mazu point. If you're raising cash like Holmes to Mazu, but you're getting Hines in, and that's your way of getting Hines, I can't really fault it, to be honest, because Hines is in a different level. Like, I sold Murray, he scored well, but Murray got me Hines, and I'm just happy that I've got Nico locked in there. I think I saw a question before about Sean Johnson or Mitchell Moses. I'd probably go Mitchell Moses just for the matchup. I think it's a lot better. But I think ultimately, halfback, I think you just want to lock in Hines and Cleary. And I think without, like, Holmes could do very well this week. I have a feeling he's going to do well. He's been scoring his 60s without not doing much, is basically what I think it was Clone Commander who said that. Pretty much that's the case. But yeah, selling him to be able to get Hines next week feels fair enough, especially for Mazu. He could easily match he could match Holmes in base power, let's put it that way. Okay, so on Hosking, so didn't really learn too much from TLT in the whole Luke Garner Liam Martin situation. Neither of the two got named, but again, I'm looking at it similar to, say, with Mazu. Like, you're guaranteed pretty much 80 minutes from Hosking this week. Decent matchup against Manly. Newcastle round 7 is good. There's a Tigers game in round 9, which looks good as well. So Drew's asking, what happens to Hosking when Martin comes back? We really don't know at this point. My feeling is that Hosking has looked really good. Like, he scored 80 points last week with a try, but he easily could have scored a second try. Like, he was millimeters short of scoring a second try. That would have been an extra, 17, 10? It would have been an extra 20, probably 30 points. We're looking at back-to-back 110 scores, and he'd be almost a must-buy. For me, he feels like a very solid trade-in. With Martin coming back, there's a chance maybe Martin either goes to the left edge and or he plays in the middle, like a middle rotation, with Garner and Hosking as the two edges. I kind of feel like Martin would be more likely to go to the left, and then Hosking just stays on the right-hand side. And it's obviously been very notable that playing on the right outside of Cleary, he's getting those chances to get attacking stats. So I really like Hosking. I was very keen, you all could probably tell last week, I was very keen on Hosking. I didn't buy him because there was a report from the Telegraph that it was like, yeah, Garner will be back. Eventually, you know, Garner will be back. He's in our plans, etc. And I was just like, oh, there's enough doubt now that I'm probably not going to go Hosking. Kind of wish I went him, but it's fine. I think at his price, it's not that bad. He's got a very low break even. He'll make a stack of money. Just in terms of the graph that I've showed here as well, I just plugged in from nrlsupercoachstats.com, which is a great website. I just put in there, they've got a price change calculator tool. I just plugged in, if he was to average 65, how much money would he make? He's pretty much going to make about like at least 100K this week if he scores 65. And then, like, there's a very good chance he'll make at least 150K. So I think he's worth a trade-in alone for that. But he also offers the points potential. So again, what we spoke about at the very beginning of the stream, someone that you can get that will generate cash plus get your points is ideal balance, I think, of the two. So yep, really like Hosking as a trade-in. In terms of who you sell for him, I've had to update the table below me last minute after this whole Hopgood news. But Hopgood to Hosking, I'd probably do it if you didn't have any other option. Carrigan to him. I think people who were selling Carrigan probably are going to be now selling Hopgood, which I'd probably say, yeah, sell Hopgood before I sell Carrigan. But if you don't, if you want to keep Hopgood, I think Carrigan's a fine sell. Similar to what we're seeing with Payne Haas, with the Broncos absolutely killing it, and they still have two good matchups in the coming up. They've got Raiders this week, Titans the next week. If the Broncos keep blowing out teams and just piling on the points, we're going to see lower minutes for their forwards. They just don't need to work them as hard as what they have had previous seasons. Carrigan played 53 minutes last week. Haas played 45 minutes last week, when you probably were starting the season with Carrigan expecting him to play 65, 70 minutes. So the fact that he's got those lower minutes in him is not great. I'd probably sell Hopgood over him and just keep Carrigan for another week potentially. But yeah, I would maybe look at selling him. Wilton, I'd probably move on as well for Hosking. Wilton's been fine, but I think Hosking can deliver the same cheaper price, and Wilton has the bye this week. Cartwright, probably not anymore now that he's been named to start. And Drury, yeah, look, if you can upgrade Drury to Hosking, I think that's pretty good. So those are some more popular options in terms of who people would be selling to. I'll just answer a few questions. So Kane was asking, would I go Hosking or Fifita? Someone asked me this on Twitter. My feeling was Fifita. Because he's got a Dragons matchup this week, it's a game where he can easily go 100+. But I think you kind of have to make a decision with your team. Are you happy enough with points that can be generated, but you still need to make more cash? Because I think Hosking will fairly comfortably get maybe 60, 65 this week. Fifita's a chance of getting like 100, 110. So there's maybe a 40-point gap there. But Hosking is obviously guaranteed to make the money that Fifita is not going to. So I think you kind of just need to weigh up. Do you need to take the cash and maybe slightly lower points this week? Or do you want to chase the ceiling of someone like Fifita, who's a genuine captain option this week against the Dragons? So I think you kind of really just have to make a decision about that. If you're on the points, go for Fifita. If you're happy to take a solid score, make more money, then I'd probably just go Hosking. Hopefully that helps answer your question. Robbie Star says, 189 watching, 7 likes. Come on, guys. It's literally a press. Hit the like. Please, guys, hit the stream. Give the stream a like if you are enjoying it. So a couple of questions still on Marzio. I might just quickly go back and tackle them from Don. Sell To'o or Alamotti for Marzio? Probably Alamotti. To'o scored like mid-60s last week without any attacking stats, pretty much. So that would be my thoughts on him. SE Campbell says, I'm happy about going early on Hosking. Yeah, look, if I went... if I had gone Hosking last week, I would have been very happy as well. Alaric says, Hopgood, yes, and Cartwright, no. Please explain. I kind of just went into that a little bit. Essentially, it's because Cartwright, I think, well, to be honest, I think about it now. If Cartwright was the only other option you have at second row forward to go to Hosking, yeah, I'd do it. The reason I said no is because it's probably more from the perspective of he's not a must sell because he's been named to start again. I thought coming into this week, Cartwright would be moved to the bench. I thought it would be Hopgood, Lock, Madison, right edge, Lane, left edge. And I would have said, yep, go trade out Cartwright now. But the fact he's been named to start again just makes me think, I think you can afford to hold him. If he's the only route to Hosking, yeah, I'd probably do it. Like there's really only a few people who I wouldn't be trading out for Hosking. Like if you still hold, like, I don't know, even if you have Cam Murray, I don't even know if, would you trade Cam Murray to Hosking? Probably not with a good Bulldogs matchup, but outside of a gun, like a Fifita or a Murray, I feel like all options are on the table to move to Hosking. I think someone was asking before about Eli Katoa. Would I go Eli Katoa to Hosking? I mean, Katoa's been good. I mean, not as big the last week or so. I think that's also just kind of coincided with the draw getting a bit tougher. But do remember that Jerome Hughes has been named this week as well. I do think a lot of Katoa's points were coming off the back of Jerome Hughes. So like, yeah, last week, last week was the first week without Jerome Hughes. Oh, sorry, no. He scored 96 the week before without Jerome Hughes, but first 4 weeks, 54, 92, 64, 96, none. Last week was 45. It's Roosters, Manly, Warriors before the bye. He's got a break even of 46, so he's not going to go down too much in price. He's probably going to stay around 600k. Again, it's one of those ones where I think, look, you can make 150k as the downgrade, but there's no need to sell Katoa. I think if I own Katoa, I probably wouldn't be selling, in my opinion. But I've been really high on Katoa, I think, this season so far. So no, I don't think I'd be selling Eli Katoa for anyone out there who's thinking about selling Katoa. Now, this is a great question. Who's the better buy out of Hosking and Marzu? I'm gonna cop out with it's based on your team. Do you need the center wing or do you need the second row forward? The way I think about it is there others in that position who can get the same as them for the same price? At 450k, can you find a second forward who does the same job? Someone like Jackson Ford probably could, and he's cheaper, maybe slightly less. At 580k, is there any center wing who can get what Marzu can? Maybe. Jackson Paulo was around his price, but he's gone up in price. Maybe Dan Tupou, Campbell Graham. There are a lot of good center wing options, actually, but there's a lot of good second forward options too. I think if I had to go for one, Hosking. But honestly, I'm very high on both. They'll both be in my trade plans this week for sure. But if I had to pick one, probably Hosking. Best Hopgood replacement from Jacob. Already have Hosking. I feel like I'm saying Hosking so many times. I mean, if you've got cash and you've already got Fifita, I like going Sean Lane as a pod. Again, apologies, Robbie. I know you wanted him as a pod. But yeah, someone like Sean Lane could be a nice option. Someone like the Eels are just good for buy coverage. So one of them too, Madison, Sean Lane could be options. Outside of that, you still have the likes of a Jackson Ford as well. Schuster is someone that you could still get. But yeah, I don't know. There's a few, you can take a chance. You don't even have to sell them, to be honest. There's a perfectly good argument to just hold Hopgood for this week. All right, seeing a few questions about Latrell, Dewey, Cody Walker. So I think we might move on from this section and get onto the 5-8s. So got you guys covered, got a little section prepared. Hopefully I've got the draw correct. I'm so concerned now I've got everything wrong, but I think I'm looking at these ones. These ones look correct, so that's good. So yeah, in terms of the 5-8s, so I guess people who own Adam Dewey, potentially looking at selling this week. Actually, before I quickly get onto this, I'll quickly just answer this question from Footy Edits, SJ to Hines. Look, not this week, obviously, with Hines on a buy, and SJ has a negative break even, but it's probably one I'd be looking to do next week. I think as soon as Hines is back, I think you need to get him in your team. We just 2 weeks, 180, 102, like him and Cleary are just standouts for the halfback position. So yeah, I guess in terms of the 5-8s, in terms of Adam Dewey and what you do there. So Adam Dewey has been named in the halves again, which is a positive. He wasn't really scoring that well Supercoach wise at fullback. I think he will be better at playing at the 5-8 spot. Parramatta do still concede points, so I think the matchup is fine for conceding points or for scoring points. The issue is the bye in round 7. And then out of that bye, he's got Manly and Penrith, which are not great games. Dragons is good in round 10, but then it is Rabbitohs again and then the Cowboys. So it's not an amazing run of games for Dewey, put it that way. So in a break-in of 69, he's probably not going to change too much in price. But I can see the appeal of Cody Walker at 572K. He's not too much more expensive. Matt Burton's around a similar price as well. I think if you're looking for a 5.8 option and you want to move off, then yeah, probably one of Walker or Burton would be the ones I'd move to. I'd probably go Cody. So if you can see below them, I've put the draw out until round 13. Cody plays a round 13 bye week. He's not going to play Origin. So I feel like if you're going to lock in a 5.8 that you can just ride out until the bye period, I think Cody Walker is the one that you would go to. So, you know, if you don't have the funds to go up to someone like Dill Brown, he is like 200K more expensive. It's a lot of money that you need to try to find to get to someone like Dill Bags. I mean, Dill Bags is probably the one I'd go for. I own him. He's got the Tigers this week, so I really like that matchup. But I appreciate that. That's a lot of money that you need to spend. And he also has a very high break even of 131. So I like Dewey to Walker. It doesn't feel like a must trade this week because I don't think Dewey's really in jeopardy of going down too much in price. Cody's going to go up a little bit. So I think if you've got other stuff that you need to do, like Bulldogs game at a Core Stadium is going to on Friday. It's not going to be an easy game on paper. Like the Bulldogs are going to be up for it. So I don't think there's a rush to need to go Dewey to Cody. I think you can wait a week and then maybe round 7. If you didn't like what you saw from Dewey and you liked what you saw from Cody, when he's got a Dolphins matchup, Dewey's on a bye. It feels like a very easy move at that point. So people doing it this week, I don't mind it. If you're off Dewey, you're kind of sick of owning him or you don't like the Tigers. Cody's probably the one I'd go to just because I think around the same price. Someone mentioned Tom Dearden, I think, on Twitter. I'm not too keen on Tom Dearden. The Cowboys' good run of games it kind of ends in round 8. And I just don't think Dearden is quite the Supercoach proven option that someone like Cody Walker is. Like Cody Walker is a proven gun, and he's looking better as well, I think, the last few weeks. So we're definitely seeing on the eye test he's looking better. So Cody's the one I'd go for. What I do like about Cody as well, I saw someone in the chat, sorry Ian, pod Cody Walker in round 11. I'm not sure how much of a pod Cody Walker is going to be in round 11 when he's got the Tigers, Parramatta and then Raiders in round 13. I think a lot of people will be buying him at that point. But if you want to go early, don't mind it. The Rabbitohs are still a team who can score points. The stats at the beginning of the stream didn't quite show them being able to score a lot of points, but they have had a very, very tough draw. We know that they're a good attacking team. Hamish is saying, Dillbag's best option next week. He wouldn't have such a high break even. That's true. Like, yeah, for sure, you don't have to buy Dill Brown this week. And, you know, if you've got other things you want to do, you can maybe wait for him to drop in price. It's kind of one of those ones where you weigh up points potential versus the cash loss. Like Dill Brown definitely could do well this week, but yeah, I don't think it's a must move. Like, you know, Dewey might go down 5-10K. Dill Brown scores 80. He still probably loses another 30K. So you're like 20-30K better off. So Pablo's asking, do you think it's risky holding off on Dill Brown still next week? It's not risky. Like at the end of the day, he's not high owned. So I don't see risk in the sense that he's not a highly owned player. So it's not like Nico of last week or the week before where his points really hurt you if you don't own. If he comes out and scores 150, he's not that highly owned. Yes, it'll suck, but it's not going to kill you, like, you know, your ranks wise and stuff. So I don't think it's a risk. I think if you want to opt to wait, hope he goes down in price, I think that strategy is perfectly fine because I do think that Dewey has potential to still score points. Like Parramatta are conceding points and Easter Monday game, both teams are going to be up for it. You'd hope that the Tigers are up for it and can score a few extra points, but we'll see. I've got Munster in this list here. Feels hard to move off if you're someone like Dewey going up to Munster. I don't really see many other ways that you'd go Munster, especially if you're trying to get to someone like Hines, I think, the week after. By the way, all you people in the chat saying that Dillbag is going to cover his break even, you are my heroes. Love you all. I would be ecstatic if Dillbags covers that break even because he's currently my captain. Anyway, that's probably it, I guess, on the 5.8s. Or one thing I will mention on the table below me, I've just taken the average of each of these players against the opposing teams coming up in the next 6 just to try to split them even more so. Dewey does have the worst expected points, if you want to call it that, bit of an FPL reference, over the next 6 weeks. Cody Walker's is pretty good at 372, so I think there is upside potentially with going Cody Walker, because historically he's done well against some of these opponents that he's got coming up. But yeah, people doing Dewey to Cody Walker, I think it's fine, like it, but doesn't have to be a must trade this week. I think you can afford to wait next week. All right, so next topic. What else? We've spoken about Hopgood, Mazu, Hosking, Dewey. I'm seeing a question about Reid Marnie, actually. So, I've got Schuster. You know what? I'll quickly tackle this. I didn't tackle it earlier. Before I get to the hookers, I'll talk about this. Plays with the low break evens. So a couple of cheapies who I think people are maybe looking at this week. One is Jack Johns from the Knights. Another is it Isaac Fasumula-Aui from the Titans? Tino's older brother, I don't actually know. He's like 200k bottom dollar front row forward cheapie. So I think someone was asking before, would I go Jack Johns or Schuster? For me, it's Schuster, comfortably. He's only 7k more expensive, but his dual 5'8 second row forward, I think that's a really handy dual to have. And for me, there's no question mark on Schuster's job security. He is the 5'8 for Manly. It's just so happens he's had some injuries that have set him back. Whereas Jack Johns, he has been starting at lock. I've seen some quotes that saying that they're looking at him as a longer term lock position. But I just feel more secure with someone like a Schuster who you can toggle between the 5'8 and the second row forward spots. And second row forward is such a stack position. Jack Johns is only he's only available in second row forward, which kind of hurts him. I've got his stats below me. The stats are fine, you know, averaging 41 minutes, base average of 36 is fine. But we know Schuster has got a base power average of about 25-30 himself, but the attacking stats are much more likely to come, especially in an attacking team like Manly. And when you saw it before, when I was talking about Ruben Garrick, I really like targeting Manly from round 8 when they've got the Tigers, Titans, Broncos, Sharks, not great, but then it's the Raiders, and then it's Newcastle in round 13. Just quickly checking with the Knights. Yeah, so the Knights do play round 13, so that is obviously a good thing, but I feel like he's not, again, not going to be someone who will hurt you. I just feel like Schuster's a much better, safer downgrade option. A couple of people asked me about those cheapy front row forwards. So you've got Isaac Fasumula-Aui and Lindsay Smith from the Penrith Panthers. So Smith is at the bottom of this table with a minus 10 break even. Fasumula-Aui, I think, had a minus... What did he have? I can't even remember what his break-even was. It wasn't in the top 12 in terms of the lowest break-evens, put it that way. That's why he's not in this table here. Just quickly checking. He's got a break-even of minus 2, so it's obviously still going to make some money. I honestly, to tell you the truth, I have no idea what the situation is there with Isaac in terms of minutes potential. He's played 2 games till this point, played 25 and 47 minutes, base average of... 32 in those 36 minutes, which is solid. But again, I'm like, yeah, he might go up maybe 230k, but the way I think about it with your front row forward, if you're looking to downgrade to make money, like, are you downgrading Oitekamanu, Christian Welch? I'm okay with Christian Welch at this point in time. He's going around in the mid-50s. Oitekamanu, yes, I think from round 7 could be upgraded when he's got the buy, but the way I think about it is I'm trying to make money to upgrade Oitekamanu to, like, Tarpany, Payne, Haas, not go down to someone like a Fasumula-Aui. And if you're going down from like Moali or Pele, like, you're really only making 30k. I'm just not seeing a lot of benefit out of that trade. Similar with Lindsay Smith. Like, he's only played the one game so far. He will probably take some minutes where Fisher Harris is going to be out, but again, I just don't see like the massive benefit in terms of cash generation, especially if I'm imagining people who are selling Oitekamanu to him. They've probably got Oitekamanu as their second front row forward. I'd rather just upgrade him instead. So, to be honest, I'm not really too keen on those cheaper front row forwards. Just feel like it's a very low upside position. I'd be just trying to get the money to upgrade Oitekamanu to a locked in front row forward keeper, and that's that. And if we get some more information about these guys over the next couple of weeks, then sure, we can look to maybe downgrade or swap the likes of Moali or Pele. But front row forward is a spot I'm never going to reserve. So if I'm happy with the two starting front row forward that I've got, then that's fine for me in my opinion. If I'm going Jack Johns or Isaac, probably Jack Johns. It looks as though he's more likely to be a longer term hold, but even then I'd probably prefer Schuster. Of course, I understand people may already own Schuster, but not sure if I love him too much, to be honest. Like, David's asking, is Nia Corey to Jack Johns a good trade? I mean, I guess people are going down to Jack Johns to make money. I'm going to assume people who are buying Jack Johns already own Schuster. I get it. You're making money. Like, for example, Rocco saying Stefano to Isaac for Hines. And you said that he's your third front row forward. Look, in that case, I get it. Just go down all the way in price and bring in Hines. I can't fault that, right? So, yeah. So, for example, in Rocco's instance, I can say, yeah, that's a pretty fairly reasonable trade. All right, so that's kind of my thoughts on some of those cheaper options I think a few people are buying this week. In terms of other negative break-even players coming up, so Hosking we've spoken a lot about, as we have Marzu, Warbrick, Campera, I'm keeping until I hopefully can sell them when they're peaked in price, but they've still got quite a bit of money to make, so I'm happy with that. Someone in the beginning of the stream was talking about Tom Chester. Yeah, we missed out on Chester. He's been named on the bench, so he made like 100K, but I think he was only fullback listed, so if you own like Turbo Reece Walsh, you weren't moving off one of them too. KO Weeks, we'll actually just talk about in this next section as well. So I wanted to get into some dummy half chat. So I think Simon Crockford is asking Egan, or sorry, you're asking a reserve question, but Steezes is asking, what do we do with Egan? I'm going to assume that's Wade Egan. So this is something I'm thinking about as well for next week. So next week, I may look to upgrade Oichikamanu to a better front row forward. I'm going to need money for that. So the way I'm thinking about doing that potentially is downgrading Reed Marnie. And what I want to do is try to maybe go down in price to a cheaper dummy half. So the ones that stand out to me are Sonny Luke from the Penrith Panthers, Brendan Hands from the Eels, Kale Weeks from Manly, and then maybe Ray Stone from the Dolphins. Don't love Ray Stones. Is it Stones or Stone? It's probably Stone, isn't it? It's not Stones. Someone like Wade Egan, relatively high break-in of 58. I think it could be worth just keeping him this week again. His minutes are decent, averaging 68. Reed Marnie, look, I was tweeting last week that he was going to be sold for me. Obviously, what's happened this week means I'm kind of going to... I think I was a bit reactionary. And look, it helps that he got a try assist. I'm going to sit on it, I think, for another week. Hamish is saying that he's downgraded to Ray Stone. If I'm being honest, I think round 13 would play a part in this thinking. By the way, thank you, Robbie. You've become a member. Really, really appreciate that. I thought I'd just shout you out before I missed that, but appreciate that. Thank you a lot. So I think it's probably just worthwhile to see who plays in round 13, because I imagine most of you are going to be pairing up with Harry Grant, who's going to miss the round 13 with Origin. So the Dolphins, they do play round 13. Ray Stone might be an option. Manly play round 13. So someone like KO Weeks maybe is an option. Eels play round 13. So Hands could be an option. Penrith do not play round 13. So Sonny Luke is not going to cover that spot. Sonny Luke still stands out to me because I think he's just playing for the best team with the highest attacking potential upside. And he's just been hampered with like the HIA and stuff. And he's got a high break even of 42. I'm hoping that if he comes out, plays good minutes, but maybe he gets like 35-40. He's the one who I'm still thinking of the one to go down in price. To downgrade Reed Marnie, that frees up like 300k, and I can use that to maybe go Stefano to Tarpany next week, for example, or maybe even up to Payne Haas if I've got enough monies. So Sonny Luke's still the one I'm thinking about. KO Weeks looked good, but his numbers are inflated from that try that he scored last week. So for me, the minutes aren't quite there yet. Brendan Hands, again, the minutes, he's averaging 32 minutes. I know Sonny Luke's only averaging 25, but that's including his HIA game. If I look at the games that he played, I appreciate only a couple of games, but he played 25 and 46 in rounds one and then rounds two. I was kind of thinking, is 46 minutes actually what he's going to get? Because if he's getting 46 minutes, that's much safer than the likes of Weeks, Hands, and even maybe Ray Stone. I think Ray Stone's probably the safest of all of them if you needed to buy right now. But Sonny Luke's my preference just for the potential attacking upside playing in a good Panthers team. I think if you own someone like Wade Egan, I think it's fine to hold this week. I don't think he's going to go down much in price with a break even of 58. And it just gives you another week, I think, to reassess some of these guys. Yes, some of them have got negative break evens, but I don't think they're going to be guys who are going to like explode in price. So I feel like you can maybe wait a week on it potentially. I forgot Tanner Boyd from Sai. To be honest, I didn't actually forget Tanner Boyd. I just didn't include him because I thought I wanted to show more of the cheaper ones around the 200K mark. He was kind of sitting in the middle, about 300K. I included the likes of Cheese and Jacob Little because I still think someone like Brandon Smith could be someone we go back to buy, because I really liked what I saw from him last week. He put through Sam Walker through a hole for a line break assist, and the way that he was playing kind of looked more like what I expected him to be playing when he first joined the Roosters. We all moved off him, but I thought it's worthwhile just mentioning him here that, you know, if you're a Wade Egan owner, you're making 200K going down to Brandon Smith, which is obviously, you know, pretty decent money, but you are probably getting a much safer option. You're getting a starting dummy half for a good Roosters team. Roosters do not play round 13, so that doesn't help, but at least, you know, during that whole Origin period, he'll play. He's a Kiwi, so he might be one that I look to maybe in a couple of weeks. But anyway, that's some thoughts around dummy halves. A lot of love for Preston in the chat. We do love Preston. Preston Mania, Press God, Press Ton. I like that little pun from Robbie Starr. I've got some numbers on front row forwards. I don't want to go a whole heap into it. I feel like I've been talking about it the last few weeks, but yeah, look, if I was to buy one front row forward, Haas is by far looking the best. Only thing I will say with Payne Haas is what slightly concerns me is minutes if the Broncos keep putting on heaps of points. He played 45 minutes last week, like they didn't need to play him big minutes. That's the only risk I see with Payne Haas at this stage, but when he's playing, he is absolutely killing it. Looking amazing. Tarpany has been solid, but the Raiders just don't look quite good at this stage. I have been more on the more leaning towards Tarpany just for the full Origin coverage, but I do think Haas is probably the one who I would try to get to at this point, but the minutes are a bit of a concern. He's getting highly owned now as well, so this is something I'm probably going to revisit a bit more next week, I think, when like myself and other people might be selling Oetukamanu. But if you're in the position where you want to sell one of Oetukamanu or Welch to a gun front row forward, I'd probably just try to buy Payne Haas. I think just ride the wave and maybe come Origin time, maybe you move to someone like Tarpany, because Tarpany is the safest for that period of time. But right now, I think Haas is going to be outscoring him. Raiders is just not looking to offload as much, and Payne Haas is constantly offloading. And that try that he scored was 2021 day for Fida S, where he just like bullied the opposition. Anyway, that's my thoughts on front row forward. Would I sell Hammer to Marzu? Yes. We'll get onto my team in a little bit, but yeah, I'll be doing that. I'm not going to talk about top 10 trade ins and outs. I think we've covered majority of these players. Just on captaincy for this week, it is a bit of an open week this week for sure. So a lot of good teams versing each other. Rooster Storm, Penrith Manly, Rabbitohs Bulldogs is tough. So I think it's a bit more of an open week. I think if you want to take a bit more of a pod captain this week, this is not a bad week to do it, in my opinion. The way I'm seeing it is, you know, if you're a Munster owner, maybe you can go somewhere like VC Munster. But Roosters have been pretty good at defending opposition 5-8s so far. At the beginning of the stream, Roosters have been very good at conceding points. Like, they've been pretty tight defensively to date. So Munster doesn't scream VC. Cleary feels like a safe VC, just because it's Cleary. Just seeing that Manly conceded 32 points to the Knights, you can imagine Penrith being able to score 32 points. And if they do, then it's going to be Cleary heavily involved. So I like VC Cleary. Not too keen on Trbojevic, in my opinion. I think the matchup is just not quite there. Penrith have been the best team at defending opposition fullbacks, so for me, he's not an option. Hamish is saying Val Holmes. I did toy with putting in Val Holmes, but I was kind of thinking how many people would captain him, but I think he is definitely a pod shout. Now that Drinkwater's back, you know, the Dolphins game, playing at home, I think there are some factors that could make Holmes a good captain shout. He's personally not one that I've considered too much. I still think we've not seen enough from him ceiling-wise to say, yes, I'll captain him. Rhys Walsh is really standing out as a pod captain. So Canberra are the sixth worst at defending opposition fullbacks. We've seen how many points the Broncos are scoring. It's another home game for the Broncos. I'm pretty sure that's the case. Like, they've just been gifted this draw for the beginning of the season. So Saturday night, it's Broncos Raiders at Suncorp. Raiders conceding points. Like, Rhys Walsh is standing out as an option. Payne Haas, we've seen the upside from him as well, attacking wise. Raiders have actually been the second worst at defending opposition front row forwards for points, so he's also a shout. A little bit later in the week, you've got Fifita against the Dragons, who we know concede points as well. They're the eighth worst at defending second row forwards. So I think someone like Fifita is an option. He's looking pretty good. No foreign though, which kind of makes me think he's maybe not the one that I'd be trying to get to. Dylan Brown. Tigers are the fourth worst at defending opposition 5/8s. I kind of like that. I'm looking at these numbers actually. Harry Grant, Roosters have been the fifth worst at defending opposition hookers. So to be honest, actually, if you're umming and ahhing and you don't want to go VC Cleary, I think VC Grant is a shout as well, for sure. That's probably something I'll consider a little bit more, actually. Latrell, if you're a Latrell owner, I haven't got him on this list here. Bulldogs have been the seventh worst at defending fullbacks. So that's an option too. So I think VC-wise, I think you can go a little bit more different with the likes of... You can even VC Reece Walsh on the Saturday and then look to captain... you can captain an Eels player because they play on the Monday. So that's something that you can think about this weekend in particular as well, with the games being spread out a little bit more. So VC Walsh could be on the cards. I think I'll probably just lean with VC Cleary, just knowing that Penrith can still score plenty of points. And then for me at the moment, I'm thinking captain Walsh, Fifita or Dylan Brown. That's what I'm leaning at the moment. I don't love that none of them goal kick. At the moment, it's on Dill Bags. I like the Tigers matchup. His running mate is back, Sean Lane. WWYD saying Captain Lane. It's an option, but I've currently got the armband on his running mate. It's a tough week for captains, I think. But yeah, at the moment, I'm VC Cleary captain. Dylan Brown's actually where I'm at the moment. But subject to change. So just on that, I'll quickly show you guys my team, what I'm thinking about, and then I think we'll do about 5-10 minutes of questions, and then we'll wrap up there. So for me, trades feel fairly straightforward. So Nia Corey's out for 2 weeks. So he's been fine. He scored the try last week, but he's out for 2 weeks. We've got a prime candidate in Hosking available. So I will be going Nia Corey to Hosking. That's pretty much locked in. And then Tabuai Fadeau, thanks for your money generation. You made about 160K. It did a job for me. Gregosaurus coming in. So that's two trades, 36K in the bank. Now, I did think about doing a boost of Hopgood out for like Schuster to make some money, but think about it more. I'm happy, I think, to hold Hopgood potentially just for the week, maybe see how he goes against the Tigers. I wish I could bring in Sean Lane this week, but I feel like Hosking and Marzu are the two ones that feel pretty safe to go for this week. I'll have a pretty solid 17 if I do those two trades. So if I just quickly complete those trades, I'll show you what my team setup would look like for the week ahead. So Hosking would come in for Hopgood. I put Hopgood on the bench in terms of that he plays later in the round. My centers are probably all going to stay the same. Walsh is staying. Ford would probably stay versus the Knights. So Marnie will probably stay as well. So then it's either to play one of Hopgood or Camperera. I'd probably just take Hopgood, I think, take the chance on the safety of points. Camperera, we do know, has got those stinker games in him. And yeah, that would be my 17. Now, there's obviously a risk that Hopgood... Well, not a risk. He's been named in the 17, so there's an option for him. He'll still play. But I'm thinking that I can save a boost again. I thought I was going to boost last week. I've only used the one boost so far. I'm not too thinking about trying to save the boost. I'm happy to use a boost if I need to. But right now, I'm feeling that I don't have to. Like, I'm happy to roll with Hopgood for another week. Because I think next week, I'm going to have issues where Oitekamana is going to be a problem for me. I only have 36K in the bank. I'll need to do a downgrade to get someone up. I'll need to get funds to go Oitekamana up. So what I'm thinking next week is... next week, someone like Schuster, yes, he'll go up in price with a minus 10 break even, but it's a game against Penrith, so he might not go up that much in price. So what I'm thinking of potentially doing next week is see what happens with Camperera. He's got a really low break even this week, but if he stinks it up and has got a really high break even, Camperera down to someone like Nico Klukstad from the Warriors might free up like 100K. And then maybe Dury or Hopgood down to Schuster frees up potentially 200 up to 300K. That's Oitekamana up to a front row forward and like Tarpany or Payne Haas. So there's, I feel like I've been saying it the last couple of weeks, but I do feel like there's a good chance that I boost next week, which is kind of why I'm thinking I don't need to force Hopgood out for Schuster this week just to make money. Hopgood could still be a viable option for me next week. Just another week of information as well. And yeah, I think otherwise pretty happy with those two trades. Hosking in, Marzu in for Niokora and Habui and Tabuai Fido. Feels quite comfortable for me. So that's kind of where I'm at with the trades. Here's what I found. Oh, shut up, Siri. Why does Siri think I'm talking to her? And yeah, for me, probably the final decision will just be on the captaincy, but currently it's on Dylan Brown. Anyway, that's where I'm at. Ian's saying, can I go Marnie down to get Oichikomanu? Again, that's another option. I can see how Sonny Luke plays, maybe Marnie down to Sonny Luke. Let's say Hopgood kills it and I really need to find money, then yeah, maybe it's Marnie down to Sonny Luke. So a couple of options that I can use to get up to upgrade my front row forward, because I'm conscious that that front row forward spot is sucky right now, but I feel like getting in the likes of Hosking and Marzu are more important for the team this week. But yeah, that's where I'm at. So we'll do 5 to 10 minutes of questions. So get those questions in. 239 watching, which is amazing. I think that's the most I've ever had, actually. So thank you, everyone, for joining me. Please do give the stream a like. But yeah, fire in your questions. We'll try to get to as many of them as I can. And we'll do that for about 5-10 minutes, and then we'll wrap it up there. Should I get Munster or Dillbags? I'd rather get Dillbags just with the better matchup this week and the origin coverage. That was the reason why I went Dillbags a couple of weeks ago. Sorry, I'm just going to get some water. Is using 4 boosts already a worry? I think 4 boosts does feel like a bit of a worry, especially this season when you've got 3 major bye weeks, not the 2 that we've been used to. I think if you've used 3, it's fine. But I would be keen to hold on to that. So I think 4 boosts is a worry. Jason says, should I get Josh King or Payne Haas? Front and four looking weak, but the money saved can go towards Grant next week. It's a tough one. I mean, Payne Haas is killing it. Josh King has obviously been solid. But like, if you got Payne Haas, who would your dummy half be, I guess, is a question. Just let me know, because you'd have to look at the combo. Like, let's say it's Robson. Payne Haas, Robson, or Grant. Josh King. I'd probably go the Grant, Josh King option, because I think Grant versus every other dummy half is like well clear. At the moment, Haas is well clear, but I think eventually the difference is not going to be that much. Play Hopgood or Ford? I think I'd play Ford just for the safety of minutes. I think you know that Ford is going to play 80 minutes guaranteed. Hopgood, we don't really know what the minutes are going to look like. So I think for safety, I'd say Ford. Let's see. Ian says, Tabuai Fido to Marzu, Welch to Haas, Hopgood to Jack Johns, or Fido to Marzu, Welch to Haas, or Holmes to CNK to free up cash for next week. Fido to Marzu, fine. Welch to Haas, fine. Holmes to CNK, or Hopgood to Jack Johns. To be honest, I'd rather do Hopgood to Jack Johns, but I don't even love that, to be honest. Sorry, Ian. Dewey to Schuster for fun for Haas. Only thing with that, Macca, is I'm going to assume that you're going to have to go Schuster and Katoa for the next couple of weeks. Schuster doesn't have great matchups the next 2 weeks. I don't think Haas is that important. Like, I think Dewey is fine. I don't think you need to... Like, if you're doing that to get Hines, I'd say fine. But for Haas, I don't think you need to do that much to get Haas. Like, Haas is great, but at the end of the day, front row forward isn't a spot that's going to kill you if you don't own the best guy, in my opinion. Jason says, dummy Haas on Marnie and Robson. Oh, okay. Yeah, I'd probably sell Marnie. Do Cowboys play round 13? Whichever the two plays round 13, if one of them does. Cowboys do play round 13. Bulldogs don't. So I'd probably just sell Marnie in your situation, Jason. What do you think of the hammer down to Sean Russell? I don't love the Sean Russell one. I know he's been named instead of Wonga Blake, but how long is that for? I don't think you need to do that trade necessarily this week. Like, remember, at the end of the day, Tabuai Fido is even not a must sell himself. He's just in the Cowboys. It's his old team. He could be up for it. But we've got a prime candidate in Mazu there to upgrade to. But going down to Sean Russell, I don't even think Sean Russell is that cheap from memory. How much is he? He's 366k. To be honest, like, you're not even really funding that much in terms of money. I would just go Nico Klukstad. He's 377k, but way more safe. I would just go Nico Klukstad, in my opinion, instead of Russell. When am I targeting the Sharks backs? Now, this is a great question. Yeah, the Sharks backs, Katoa, Mulatalo, Ramien, looked really good. I think maybe if I went to move off Mazu, maybe if someone like Kyle Pereira or Warbrick makes enough money, I'd try to get up to one of them. So thinking about it now, maybe Kyle Pereira to one of the cheaper ones there, just maybe as a good solid option. Why am I playing Hopgood over Kyle Pereira? I just think Kyle Pereira is at risk of playing like six, getting me 10 points. Whereas Hopgood, if he plays 15 minutes, he can still get me 25, 30. If that makes sense. I feel like Hopgood's got a great matchup himself this week, but just much safer with the base stats. Kyle Pereira, I know Dragons can concede points, but I feel like Hopgood's just safer in my opinion. John saying, I have Teddy. How many of Mazu, Hosking, Latrell should I get this week? If you can get all three, you're great. It's kind of hard to answer that question. Like, for me, Mazu, Hosking, Field are nice, safe options to go for this week. Although, to be honest, the best two would be Hosking and Latrell, in my opinion. Because Latrell has a chance to explode this week, but it's team dependent. Sorry, I'm going to go with the cop-out answer. Would I be selling Hopgood or the Cardi Party for Hosking? At the moment, on Hopgood. Yeah, so I spoke about this a little bit before. I think I would go Hopgood. Just because, at least, you know, with Cartwright, he's been named to start. That could continue. And, I'd probably just go Hopgood. But we spoke about it before. I don't think Hopgood is even a must-sell this week. Playing Kyle Pereira or Sonny Luke? In that case, I'd play Kyle Pereira. Just better upside potential. Thoughts, please, sir. Marnie to Weeks, Hopgood to Hosking, and Alamotti to Mazu. Leaves you 330k in the bank. I mean, we spoke about the dummy halves before. I kind of prefer Sonny Luke longer term to Weeks, but I can kind of see the initial appeal of Weeks. Hopgood to Hosking, I think, is fine. Alamotti to Mazu, I think it's fine for a boost. And I think, like, that cash is really useful as well. Hey, man, if I get Hoskins this week, it's either as a sixth playable second or forward or trading out Hopgood. What's the better option? Yeah, this is something that to think about. You don't need to stack your depth too much, but to be honest, I think you could go Steezers. Maybe think about this. You could upgrade your sixth second or forward if you're still able to do your other moves and not be hampered for cash. I'd be tempted to go upgrading your sixth second row forward, because then what happens in a couple of weeks is you can then make a decision as to which of the two you need to downgrade. You can either downgrade Hosking if he loses a spot, Hopgood if the minutes are bad, and you've got that flexibility where you've got both in place, and then you can just pick and choose which of the two you want to cull later on, instead of just making an outright decision now of I'm going Hosking over Hopgood. So I'd probably actually say maybe try to get an upgrade to your sixth playable second row forward instead. Schuster or Campero better fourth reserve? Probably Kyle Pereira. I'd certainly like Schuster against the Penrith Panthers, in my opinion. Thoughts on Carrigan to Hosking and Hopgood to Dillbags? Yeah, I'd do it. I would do that for sure. Gazaraki, last reserve. Khan, Taruva, Boyd, or Ford? Probably not Tanner Boyd. I know it's the Dragons, but still, not Tanner Boyd. I'm just not feeling it. It's one of Taruva or Ford. Gee, that's tough. Probably Taruva. He's got a ceiling on him, but his base stats are pretty solid. So, yeah, probably Taruva. Is Teddy a sell? I do think so. I do think Teddy's a sell, especially when you're in a key position at fullback. I think it's just a position where you can make a single trade and get paid back immediately. I'm not even sure how much Tedesco's priced at anymore. 676k. You're only like 40k off... Walsh, I think you're only like 20k off Latrell. Yeah, 20k off the troll. Yeah, I'd probably sell Teddy for one of those two. To be honest, I'd probably go Walsh is the safe option with good matchups. Latrell's the pod who could go huge. If I had to flip a coin, I'd probably go Reece Walsh. Just ride the hot wave and ride the form. Hey, man, Garrick to Mazu to collect Mazu. Nah, sorry, Rodders. I know the plan to trade Garrick back in, but I think if you've got Garrick in there, don't mess around. I think with burning your trades, I'll just keep Garrick locked in there, in my opinion. As I spoke about earlier, round eight onwards, I think Garrick is going to be one of my most wanted players to trade in. All right, we'll do one more question and then we'll wrap it up because we've been going for like 1 hour 10 minutes. I won't answer yours, OT Hero, because that's pretty common, but I'd say yes. Who would I sell, Egan Butcher or Hopgood? God, that's tough, isn't it? I still think I'd sell Egan Butcher. He's just not quite cutting it. Like what he's been getting in 80 minutes is like mid-40s. I think Hopgood has still been getting that even in lower minutes. Plus, Hopgood's got better buy coverage for you. So I would just keep Hopgood and maybe probably just sell Egan Butcher, in my opinion. All right, we're going to wrap up the stream there. Thanks everyone for tuning in. Please do give the stream a like if you enjoyed it. We'll be trying to put the audio out for this on Spotify and audio platforms later tonight. So if anyone wants to listen back, they can. But I will try to put timestamps as well for people who are watching the stream on replay. But really appreciate you all coming out and tuning in on this Tuesday evening. Really, really appreciate all the support. So do give the stream a like on the way out. Thanks everyone for tuning in. Any other questions, put in the comments, Twitter, all that kind of good stuff, and I'll try to get back to you. But until then, have a good rest of your evening and catch you in the next one. See ya.